The first thing to keep in mind is that cases involving children with special education needs are confidential. The second thing is that they are complex. The federal regulations for special education in public schools total close to 1,000 pages in length, and then the states implement their own regulations on top of that. Those important laws ensure that students who need special assistance are appropriately identified, that the parents and teachers develop individualized education plans for each student, and that the schools keep accurate records of how those plans are carried out. For instance, if it's determined a student needs 3 hours of speech therapy a week, first that needs to happen, and second, somebody needs to keep careful records that it did happen and annotate the student's progress. Ann Applegate is an attorney with the Disability Law Center of Alaska. She says she was contacted 2 years ago by one parent of a Dillingham City School District special ed child. After some discussion, Applegate suspected the district's special ed program had more problems than what that one parent was concerned about, so she came to investigate. By the spring of 2013, Applegate had filed formal complaints with the state's Department of Education and Early Development.
But I'd been in contact with the district from October of 2012, trying to sort of resolve things informally, seeing if maybe they didn't understand what was happening on the ground. You know, a bureaucracy means that sometimes you don't understand what's happening in the classroom. So I wanted to make sure that the district had an opportunity to make those repairs internally without any kind of formal complaint process. That was our first effort.
But the formal complaints were filed. In them, Applegate describes, and in some cases the state later affirms, that there were special ed services not delivered, that good records were not kept, that specialists flown in to meet with students, teachers, and parents sometimes did not meet as planned and were not rescheduled, and so on. All of the problems occurred at BBNA's Head Start. The school district oversees special ed at Head Start, usually through a certified special education aide who works directly with the preschoolers. Applegate says the identified discrepancies are not just areas where the district should improve, they're areas the district must come into compliance with the law.
And frankly, I care about those parts of the law that are going to mean effective differences for children in classrooms. I care less about small infractions, about minor procedural violations, but those violations that impact parents' ability to participate fully in IEP meetings, those are the things I really care about. And I care about what's actually happening for a number of minutes that a child is getting of services in a day. I want to make sure that that's all being done in conformance with IEPs.
Almost all of the problems have been attributed to one special ed aide who worked with the Head Start students. That's according to Applegate, parents, and even the school district. The aide apparently was absent for an excessive number of days and kept poor records when she was there. Because of the poor records, whether the appropriate services were delivered or not cannot be established. That's left the dozen or so parents who met with Applegate last week concerned their children missed out on crucial opportunities. After the school district was made aware of the complaints, it began taking steps to fix some of the problems, including replacing that one aide.
On the part of the district, I've seen kind of mixed compliance results. There are places in which it looks as though there's a lot of effort going in to making changes. There are some new aides that have been working in the preschool, for example, and I think a lot of parents have been very happy with that change.
But according to Applegate, not everything has been fixed, and not all of the parents are satisfied. If not resolved soon, she believes this could go forward to due process in front of an administrative law judge or even to federal court.
I do, because we've had a lot of discussion back and forth informally with the district that had to bring us to the state complaints that we've already brought. And I can, off the top of my head, think of three more easy state complaints that would have to be addressed. And each time there's a state complaint, of course, the district has to correct whatever, so long as they find a violation, the state finds a violation, they have to spend the money to correct those things. But apart from that, there are also injuries to children that give rise to rights in parents to seek more education to make up for the education that was lost.
Compensating for lost education is not a money damage awarded to parents or the student. It just means the missed special education sessions need to be made up. Some of the parents have signed on for Applegate to represent them further. The district has said once a parent hires a lawyer, the teachers and district officials can no longer speak directly with the parents without having all of the attorneys present. They say that slows down the process of focusing on what matters most, which is developing and implementing a comprehensive plan tailored to each student's special needs. Applegate agrees and says she always looks for ways to negotiate quick settlements to preserve the parent-teacher relationships.
These parents, they're going to have to work with the district until their children graduate. And in fact, most of them have mixed feelings because they also love their teachers. I hear regularly about the quality of teachers in the Dillingham City School District. And people do not want to, alienate their own teachers or demonize them.
The school district says staff are still working through the formal complaints where the state said corrective action was required, and it believes it will be in compliance by agreed-upon timelines. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.